found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Welcome back, everybody, as we roll all the way till 6 o'clock, Jim and Trent. By the way, you can always get in on the program at 264-1700. Again, that phone number is 264-1700. And, Trent, don't forget, tomorrow we will have our pick segment, one in each hour, right?
Yep, we'll be making our picks against the spread. You know that Iowa-Penn State game will be a part of it. 12.5.
Yo, Trent.
12.5 is the number right now in that one, Jimmy B. And, yeah, that'll be part of the pick. Certainly we'll pick some of the other big games of the college weekend after Iowa-Penn State. Is it the TCU-Oklahoma State game that you're most excited about? Because it isn't for me.
It's not, huh? Don't tell me you're all excited about that Kentucky game. But let me just – you know what I want to see, too? I want to see Washington on the road – and they're at Colorado. And I remember in the last segment, you referenced game day could have gone to that as well, because Washington is kind of like, once again, the team that nobody is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're undefeated, but haven't played anybody. They played a similar schedule, kind of like Penn State did in the non-conference. But they are returning so many players from that team that did go to the Final Four last year, including their starting quarterback in Browning. So I do have a lot of interest in that Oklahoma game, Oklahoma TCU, the Oklahoma State TCU game. But is there another game then that has more interest to you?
I do like that game in Lexington. I am excited about that one. I think that for the first time since 1986, they are going to get it done there. I want to see what happens in Nashville. I want to see what happens in Alabama going up against an elite-level defense, what Vandy did last week, completely shutting down Kansas State. I don't think it's going to be close. You know, I see that one going late touchdown by Alabama, and they win it 27-7. You know, something along those lines. But
Yeah.
I do want to see them going up against there. I want to see what happens USC-Cal. I think that's the one. This is a – you got to dig a little bit more than normal. It's not just lined up and there isn't, you know, your standard Alabama-LSU game. There isn't a big monster matchup like that. But this weekend is incredibly compelling for me. What about Mississippi State, Georgia? Now, Mississippi State, they might be the second best team in the SEC. If they go and they win between the hedges, they absolutely are the second best team.
Dan Mullen, how does he do it? I mean, he just finds guys that find ways to win. He finds football players. And look, I like Mississippi State. I mean, they can just tear your hair out and just laugh about it when they get done at the end of the game. I mean, that's what they did to LSU. They just blistered them. And I think you are on to something here for that West Coast game, that USC-Cal game. And I watched Cal beat Old Miss. So Cal's got some players. This is really, and you're right, there's not like, you know, it's not Michigan, Ohio State, or, you know, something like that. But there are some very compelling matchups this Saturday. You're absolutely correct.
You got a honey-do list, do it early. You don't want to you don't want to get stuck, you know, during the evening games getting in there. But, yeah, if you got to go out there and you got to miss something early on, you know, you could afford to miss Kent State Louisville. You could get by with that. Texas Tech Houston's fun, but – if you got things that you need to do, need to make the wifey happy, yeah, get things done early so you can get settled in late afternoon into the evening and just watch football the whole time. Jim, we've talked about it this week. I've been back and forth. How much of a shot Iowa has? Iowa absolutely has a shot at beating Penn State. I don't think there's any doubt about that. There's too much history on the side of Iowa where better teams than this Penn State team, I think, have come in there and walked away with a loss. You couple that with an Iowa team that actually shows some ability on the offensive side of the football, they can win it. But what's it take? Give me the blueprint here. You're all about Saquon Barkley, right? You think that Saquon Barkley is the difference. See, I don't. Saquon Barkley's going to get his. He's going to run the football effectively, make a couple plays in the passing game. He's going to do that. If they could keep Trace McSorley in the pocket, and they don't let him get outside and have that run pass option, the run RPO offense that they run, if they could keep him contained, I give them a lot bigger shot, even if Saquon Barkley has a monster performance. And I equate it this way. You remember when Wisconsin and Melvin Gordon came to town a couple of years back and that monster performance that Melvin Gordon had? Well, Iowa was able to stay in it, and it wasn't because they slowed down Melvin Gordon, because they didn't. It was because the offense was able to score in that football game. People didn't think they were going to be able to do it. Iowa needs to score. They got to keep up, because regardless, Penn State's going to get theirs.
I'm with you. I think Penn State's going to put points on the board. We've seen other teams put points on the board against Iowa's defense, especially teams that have a top-notch running back and a top-flight quarterback and wide receivers. Penn State has all of that. What I'm curious to see, though, is Penn State's defense. And we said that they haven't played anybody yet. We saw what Nate Stanley can do. He hasn't really connected on anything that's 40 yards or more, even though he's tried several times. But he's been very accurate in that 20-yard and in those sort of patterns, Trent. And he doesn't seem to make, like, the huge mistake. So if that's the case, is Penn State's defense, because they haven't played any high-powered real offensive teams in their non-conference, are they going to get schooled a little bit by Iowa's offense as well? I'm struggling with that aspect of making our selections tomorrow, because I don't know if Penn State's any good on defense or not.
Well, it is Penn State. I mean, they've recruited well. They got some guys over there. I mean, they're middle linebackers and all Big Ten player. Their safety is very good. They have players. Both their defensive tackles are back from a year ago. They got plenty of talent over there. In fact, that whole linebacker crew, I remember it was linebacker you back in the day, and they got a nice group out there. So they're talented. There's no doubt about that. But I just think
they haven't been pushed. They haven't been pushed at all.
The thing that jumped off as I went back and watched that Pitt-Penn State game from earlier this year is Pitt was able to move along the offensive line. You know, they were able to get a push up front. And if Iowa could get some semblance of a running game going, and this is what Iowa needs to do in my estimation. And they've been juggling things around with that offensive line, and they've had to do that because of the injury to Ike Becker, Boone Myers not being 100%. They've had to do a lot of shuffling. This is not the game for that. They got to figure out, hey, right away, is Boone Myers good enough to go? If he is, he's going to be out there, and he's going to play 60, 70, 80 snaps, how many ever snaps of offense that they get in the football game. No more mixing and matching, because there's been those clunky moments, that inconsistency when we've seen the shuffling along the offensive line. Go out there, whatever the combination is, go from the get-go, no moving things around, stick with the five guys that you're going to start with that give you the best shot, and go from there. That's what I really want to see out of this Iowa team. Now, that's very much dependent, though, on the health of Boone Myers, and we just don't know where he is health-wise.
I agree with you, and it's one of those things that we don't know how this is going to play out until they start to play the game. So I know that you have some health concerns. You have concerns about Josie Jewell.
Yes.
As well. Yeah. I mean, you don't think that he's running at peak efficiency either, right?
No. And that came up early in the Iowa State game. We know he tweaked his ankle later in the game, and that's been talked about, and he looks a step slow. But even before that, he looked off even before that. He had a couple of blitzes where he didn't have the same kind of push. He didn't have the same kind of momentum you usually expect out of Jewel. You know, and another guy, a local kid from right over here in Waukee, and that is Anthony Nelson. You know, a guy that last year is a redshirt freshman. He looked incredibly skinny out there. He looked like a stick figure out there. You know, he weighs 260 pounds at 6'7".
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was a little guy out there. He hasn't shown that same ability that we saw last year, though, of getting into the backfield, of getting to the quarterback. He had that, and he's kind of disappeared at that point. I wonder if there's something that is happening with him, too. That's something that I'm keeping an eye on. This is a dinged-up Iowa team. You know, this is not a healthy team going into this one. And from a Penn State perspective, they're pretty healthy, relatively healthy as he can be through three football games. They're in good shape. Iowa, on the other hand, there are those question marks still out there.
This is, I'm still struggling. Remember early in the week I told you I was 50-50. I think I'm more 55-45 Penn State today. We will see how that transitions into tomorrow when we have to make our selections. But with the injury factor that you just discussed, and with the way that we talked a little bit about how explosive their offense can be, and asking Iowa's offense, even though they've been able to keep up. When we saw the comeback at Iowa State, a terrific comeback. They deserved to win the game, came back, won the game. If they cannot keep pace with Penn State, I'm not saying this game is over early in the second half, but if they struggle offensively, this game could be over in the fourth before the fourth quarter. I really see that aspect. On the other hand, if indeed Barkley is not the factor that myself included believe that he has to be in order for Penn State to pull away, and if they put on a decent pass rush to make McSorley uncomfortable, this game could be a nail-biter in the fourth quarter. That's why, is the line still around 12? Is that still the line, Trent?
Staying steady at 12.5. Hasn't moved the last 3 days now.
Okay. Okay, so we'll make our selections tomorrow, but I have moved off of 50-50 to 55-45 Penn State.
All right, leading the Nittany Lions way. Well, tonight, Jimmy B, it will not be anything on the local front. Baseball out there, some good races continue on. Game one of the Cubs and Brewers, certainly to keep an eye on that one. You'd all be watching the Twins tonight. The NFL, I mean, you're going to give it a glance. It's the NFL, but
yes,
for me
I will.
Tonight, you know, I'm more interested to watch South Florida Temple than I am watching that one and see what Quentin Flowers and company can do against that Temple defense. I'm more interested in that. Boy, this NFL game, what can they do to improve this awful Thursday night product?
Just take it off.
That's not happening, though. They make money at it. No, they make money at it. So let's live in reality.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. So
yes.
What do you do to improve it?
They won't put the top teams on early on Thursday night. They, for some reason, Trent, they have this figured out that they know which teams are going to be competitive when the season begins, and they have decided, aside from the opening Thursday night game where we saw Kansas City and New England, it was a dog game with Houston and Cincinnati, and now they give us the 49ers and the Rams. The only reason I'm even going to pay attention to it, just to see if former Iowa quarterback C.J. Beathard gets into the game. That's the only reason I'm going to keep an eye on the game. I'm with you. I want to watch the Cubs in Milwaukee, and I also want to keep a tab on St. Louis to see what they're doing as well. That's my viewing pattern for tonight. I'm just looking to see if Beathard gets a shot.
We will keep an eye on that one. We will be talking more about that maybe tomorrow. If Beathard
gets it, we'll be talking
about it. Unless that happens, though, yeah, we might be staying away. Hey, Jimmy B, we need a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk some baseball. We'll also mix in a little Vikings talk. Our friend Nick Nelson from up north of the border up in Minnesota, he will stop by. He'll join us, and Ken Silverstein back to the Big Ten and Iowa Penn State. He is here as well in our number two. Jimmy B and TC, and speaking of Penn State, Iowa, if you're in the market for some tickets, looking for some good tickets right on the field, I got a spot for you to go. It is Bravo Sports Marketing. They can hook you up with a package that includes tickets to the game, tailgate, everything that you can imagine. Or if it's just tickets that you need, they have you covered there as well. BravoSportsMarketing.com is where you can go, or give them a call today. 319-626-8286, located over in North Liberty on the east side of the state. 319-626-8286. Or online, BravoSportsMarketing.com.
Hey, it's Bill Ryder. Nice to be talking to the home crowd again in Central Iowa, where I was raised, where I got married. The show is Ryder and You, 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays on Des Moines' Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Kate here with Food Dudes Delivery. Are you tired of the same old delivery options? Food Dudes Delivery can solve that problem for you. We deliver for restaurants that don't do delivery. Order through us at fooddudesdelivery.com. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office party tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Hey, it's Jimmy B.
And TC for Draft House 50 on Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Hey, Draft House 50 has 47 big screen TVs for great viewing of any game.
Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, tennis, you name it.
Hey, the Draft House 50 can get it, even cricket? Draft House 50 has a sensational menu featuring specialty burgers, steak, salads, and so much more.
And on Saturday and Sunday, beginning at 10 a.m., it's brunch, which includes a terrific Bloody Mary bar.
The Draft House 50, a place for sports, great food, and drinks.
Draft House 50, Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Sponsored by AutoZone. Get 5 quarts of Valvoline Premium Conventional Oil and an STP filter for $24.99 or an extended life filter for $2 more. See store for details. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
1700 KBGG and Charles Gabus Ford want to put you in the driver's seat of a brand new Ford Edge. This car is for you. It's all about getting you a 3-year lease on a 2017 Ford Edge. Sign up now to qualify at participating businesses who are offering even more great prizes. Like 6 $50 gift certificates for Big Al's Barbecue, now with 2 locations. 1 premium annual membership to Range Masters Training Center in Clive. 3 $100 gift certificates to Lucky Gal Tattoo and more. To see all of the participating businesses, log on to 1700kbgg.com and keep listening for details on even more chances to qualify. This car's for you with Charles Gabus Ford and 1700kbgg.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. 2 locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale.
Welcome back, everybody. We continue here until 6 o'clock right here on the Big Talker 1700. Jimmy B and TC. Ken Silverstein is our guest Big Ten Conference insider. He comes to us, of course, on the Draft House 50 hotline, Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. Kenny, good afternoon to you, and how excited are you for this game Saturday night in beautiful Iowa City, the Hawks and the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, this is what college football is all about. You play in the Big Ten for games like this. Now, obviously, they're rivalry games, Ohio State, Michigan, Nebraska. We'll obviously talk about their AD going bye-bye, I would assume, later on here. Nebraska, Iowa, and Michigan State, Michigan. But this one is really, really important for both programs. Iowa, with a win, gets in the top 25. It sends a message out to the West, better yet Wisconsin, that they are more than legit and a challenger to the Badgers within the boundaries of the Big Ten West. It'll send, let's put it this way, it'll shake the earth in Columbus, Ann Arbor, and elsewhere in the East. And there are many other things riding on this game. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. Granted, for a game in basically late September, it is really important. And I think you can make an argument that you could look at it a couple of different ways. You could say it's more important to Iowa. You could make an argument because they're so highly nationally ranked that it's even more important for Penn State. Or maybe you come down in the middle and say, you know what, this is really important for both programs. So bring it on, boys. It's coming. It's coming fast.
You know, Ken, as we've been looking at this game this week, we've taken a big look, obviously, at the Hawkeye perspective. Just want to get your thoughts on this Penn State team. Through 3 games, haven't been challenged. Dominating performances against Akron, Georgia State. The Pitt game, Pitt turned it over a whole bunch in that football game. Just frankly didn't look very good here. a year ago, they went on the road, got blitzed early by Michigan, and then after that, they played Purdue, Illinois, in Indiana, not exactly a murderer's row. Could this Kinnick crowd get to them?
Well, let's put it this way. The players have to keep it meeting Iowa. They got to keep it close early. Because I don't know, well, let me rephrase it. Nobody in the Big Ten has a better quarterback. Now, look, I'm not the biggest Trace McSorley fan you're going to find. I don't think he's an NFL quarterback, okay. But he's got a little Baker Mayfield in him, got a little gunslinger in him, and he's dangerous, particularly on a broken play. That's issue one. Issue two, they got the best running back, not only in the Big Ten, but arguably in the country. And arguably, they're the best tight end in the country in Mike Gesicki, okay? So when you have the best running back, arguably, the best quarterback in the Big Ten, granted, the Big Ten doesn't have great future NFL quarterbacks, they never do, and you have wide receiver play, tight end play, you got to keep it close early on. You can't let Penn State jump out early, take the crowd out of it, and then all of a sudden Penn State goes, oh, all right, we got this puppy in the bag. Let's just run over these guys. So first quarter, quarter and a half, they, meaning Iowa, have to keep it close. Better yet, it would be nice if they would grab an early lead.
Ken, what about that point spread right now with what we have seen? Does Vegas know something? If you're saying that Iowa can be in this game, is Vegas knowing something that everybody else isn't knowing?
Well, look, I've seen all three Iowa games. I like what they did in game one. They stopped a guy who's going to be a top 10 quarterback, okay, at Wyoming. The Iowa State game, I know I poked fun at Iowa State last week. I'm still counting the missed tackles. Now, you can look at that from two different perspectives. You can say, hey, that's Iowa State not wrapping people up and bringing them down. At the same time, you can say, hey, that's hard running and great play by the Hawkeyes. So I guess it depends on which side of the street you're on. Game three, again, you know, they're not playing, you know, a top 15 competition, top 25 competition. Still kind of tricky to read what you have. To me, if I'm Iowa, okay, I got to shrink this game. I got to play, and his ears are going to burn when I say this because he's a good friend. This is Mike Fratello basketball, NBA, in college football. Mike Fratello always looked at it this way. I don't have all the talent in the world, but if I can keep it in the low to mid-90s, I'm going to outsmart the other coach, and I'm going to win a lot of games. It's the same thing here. They, Penn State, have better talent. They got more firepower than anybody in the Big Ten. That includes Ohio State and includes Michigan at this stage because Michigan's offense right now is not very good. Okay? They got more firepower than Wisconsin has for sure. So you got to shrink the game. Now, how do you shrink the game? You run the ball. You play a little bit of play action. You hit the tight end. You hit the wide receiver a little bit and maybe make the play. And you just want to hang around, just like the Michigan game last year. Just hang around. And then in the final 3 to 5 minutes, Penn State looks at the board and goes, uh-oh, we got to make a play. We're in trouble. And I hope that McSorley, who will force it, he will force 50-50 balls. There's no doubt about it. He will force it. And if you can pressure him and force him to make a mistake, then you can get out of Iowa City with a W. But you got to run it, and shrink the game because you don't want your defense on the field too many more times than needed because they got too much weaponry. And you don't want to be dealing with that weaponry more times than not. So to me, very conservative, run the ball, no holding penalties, play a clean game, no picks, obviously, and just hang around, and basically force Penn State to panic a little bit. And if the crowd is as loud as I think it's going to be, that final 5 minutes is going to be chaotic. If Iowa leads by, let's say, 3 or so points, or they're within a field goal, or worse yet, a touchdown, they got a puncher's chance of winning.
Well, over from the big game of the weekend to the big news of the day, Ken, Nebraska has fired their athletic director. It will be no more Sean Eichhorst there. Many people believe that that is going to lead to Mike Riley also in trouble, as they're off to a 1-2 start for just the third time in 50-some seasons, two of them under Riley. Not a big stretch here. Your reaction, though, to the news of Eichhorst?
Yeah, a little bit surprising only by the timing of it. Usually these things occur at the end of the season, but the NIU debacle, and that was a debacle. Okay, you cannot at Nebraska lose to a MAC school at home. You just cannot. Okay, I don't care how you skin the cat. You got to skin the cat. You got to get it done. And the quarterback play, it's frustrating because when you look at him, he's got size, throws a pretty football. The problem is he's throwing it to the wrong team too many times. The offensive line play is not very good, and I'm being kind of Husker fan out there. They don't run the ball enough to my taste. If you go back to the bowl game, okay, which now seems like an eternity ago, to me, that's what they got to do. It's away from what Riley wants to do, but it's more Nebraska football. Run it, throw it off play action, maybe throw it downfield a little bit, but you really just want to run the ball, play some defense, kick your field goals, punt the ball, put the ball in a place where the team's got to drive it, I don't know, 80, 85, 90 yards, and play that kind of football. But Riley likes to zip it around the yard. And look, he's a Tulane transfer. It's not like he's coming from a top 25 program. And so I don't know what folks expected. He looked good in the spring game, but we've all been fooled by spring games, including yours truly over the years. And I raise my hand because I've been fooled at Ohio State spring games, Florida State, Texas, wherever I've worked in the past. I've been fooled by spring games, meaning somebody will pop. You think they're better than they are. And then all of a sudden the regular season begins and you go, what the hoot was I looking at here? Okay, you would think I would learn from prior experiences. So I'm surprised by the timing. Riley's in trouble because they're going to hire somebody. And Trent and Jim, you know, they're going to go, well, I didn't hire this guy. He's not my guy. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. So all of a sudden Bo Pelini might look better than he looked. And Frank Solich might look better than he looked. And all of a sudden, Nebraska, mostly, unless he runs the table here and has victories against Iowa down the road, obviously, way down the road, or Ohio State coming up here in, when is that Ohio State game? That Ohio State game is before Penn State game. It's before they bye. I want to say it's mid-October. He's got to win those kind of games. And I don't know with the way they're playing right now that he can do it. So I think Coach Riley is in a heap of trouble. He's a great guy. He's one of my favorite people to work with, to deal with. But I just don't think it's working. And 16-13 is not going to cut it in Lincoln, whether their aspirations are legitimate or not, whether the fan base is living in the past or not. That don't make a difference right now. There's going to be an interim AD. A new AD is going to be named, and that AD is going to go, he's not my guy, which equates to you're unemployed.
All right, Ken, then let me follow up as we continue our conversation with Big Ten Conference insider Ken Silverstein on the Draft House 50 hotline. Right now, they are paying Bo Pelini, and they will for a couple more years. Now they're going to pay Einhorst, and they will for a few more years. Then they're going to hire a new AD, pay him, and then if they kick Riley out, they'll be paying Riley as well. Look, Nebraska is not Ohio State with the money that or Michigan with the money that they have. Is there that much wealth, or is this not only the final nail in the coffin for Nebraska, because I believe they will never be in the mix ever again in the Big Ten. They might have a 10-2 season every once in a while, but for the most part, they're going to be a middle-of-the-road Big Ten team from now on. But is this going to cut severely now into the pockets that Nebraska alums have?
Well, I agree with you with Michigan and Ohio State. I mean, they got so much money they couldn't spend it
right
in X amount of lifetimes, okay? I mean, it just rolls out, okay? Okay, who do we call today for more money? Okay, the list is endless, okay? And you're right, Nebraska doesn't have that type of cash. But here's the rub, Jim, and where I might disagree just a little bit. The fan base doesn't buy that. The fan base thinks that Johnny Rogers and others, and Mike Rozier and, you know, Rich Glover and on and on and on, all the greats of Nebraska from the 70s, 80s, et cetera, Tommy Armstrong and others, are going to be, you know, roaming the field on both sides of the ball over the next X amount of years. And that is a major driving force. And unless you want to lose your fan base, and unless you want to have those turnstiles become more quiet, which is obviously a negative, then they're going to have to step up. They're going to have to find somebody, assuming we're right. And we could be wrong, but common sense says Riley's in a lot of trouble for not enough wins and then obviously a new AD coming in. And so I'm going to disagree with you a little bit and say that I see what you're saying, but I don't think hardcore Husker fan is going to accept that. And if hardcore Husker fans got that kind of cash, then hardcore Husker alum or alums, make it plural, are going to have to pony up. Nobody wants to write a check, okay? I don't care who you are. Nobody wants to pay at the end of the month the mortgage or the rent, but they know they got to do it. It's the same thing here. Whomever I'm thinking of, and I don't have a name that pops into my head right away, is thinking to him or herself, and mostly it's going to be a guy, is going to say to himself, you know what, this is unacceptable. I am not, no, this I don't care. I know we got to pay these people, but I need to write a check where I got to get my buddies who are multi-millionaires to step up with me, and we got to get somebody in here to get this thing going in the right direction. I will tell you one other note, Jim. The number 4 or 5 player in the country is a kid named Micah Parsons. He's a defensive end. He's a major talent. He's got NFL written all over him, even as a 17 or 18-year-old. He's being recruited by everybody, including Penn State, Ohio State, Alabama, Nebraska. You might say, well, wait a second here. You just mentioned Nebraska for a top 5 player in this high school class. He's a senior from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Is he seriously looking at Nebraska? From what I've been told, Nebraska is very much in the hunt now. I don't think firing the AD is going to have an effect on some high school kid. I don't think, unless he's really, really astute. And I don't think Micah Parsons fits that category particularly. It's not a knock on him. I'm just saying that 99.9% of high school kids don't care who the AD is. They care who the head coach is, their position coach on down. They don't care who the AD is particularly. So I'm not saying they're going to get him, but if they do get him, that's a major recruiting victory for Nebraska. My guess is he's going to stay home, and this is going to be a battle between Penn State and Ohio State. Ohio State was the leader for him. He had decommitted from Penn State. But I think now it's 51-49 Penn State over Ohio State. I think it's going to be in Nebraska third. But maybe Nebraska surprises people and they win the battle. Those are the kind of battles Nebraska needs to win if they're going to be the kind of program that the fan base wants. You need to win those battles. And you have to beat the Ohio States, the Penn States, the Alabamas for those kind of kids. And they might, even though I think the odds are against it. But they are very much in the hunt for a young man named Micah Parsons, a defensive end, big-time rush guy from Harrisburg, PA, Pennsylvania.
All right, Ken, we'll let you go. A couple other big games on tap besides Penn State, Iowa this weekend. Want to get your thoughts on Notre Dame, Michigan State, and, of course, Michigan on the road at upstart Purdue, going to see the biggest drum in the land.
Yes, the biggest drum. And actually, from what we're being told, it's going to be sold out. Oh, my goodness, a Purdue football game that's sold out. Yikes, when the last time that occurred? It's been a few years. You know, look, I watched them against Louisville, and they should have won that game, quite frankly. They went into Columbia and just destroyed Mizzou, which, again, Mizzou's not very good, but still an SEC team, so that's compliments to Purdue. Look, this is a major step up. I could argue and say that Michigan's defense right now is top 5 nationally. I think it's that good. Again, why is it that good? Yeah, Coach Brown, the defensive coordinator, is really good. But they're getting all 4- and 5-star kids. They're winning a lot of recruiting battles. And they have studs on all 3 levels. And yes, they're young, but they're also very talented. I think it's going to be a little bit of a shock to the system for Purdue, but it's nice that Purdue is selling out, that it's a big game for Purdue, and if Purdue could pull this upset off, oh, my goodness, would it rattle? Oh, my goodness. Mr. Khaki Pants would have, oh, my goodness. You'd have to call 911. Seriously, they'd be taking a Harbaugh to the hospital if he lost to Purdue. I don't think it's going to happen. Shouldn't happen. Won't happen. But it's nice to see Purdue selling out. Real quick on Notre Dame, Michigan State. Real good rivalry. I remember watching it as a kid in the late 60s. Jim, remember the 67 game? That was a tremendous game way back in the day.
I was like 4 years old.
No, you weren't, liar.
He's fibbing greatly. No, this has been a great rivalry. Both coaches entered the season a little bit on the hot seat, particularly Coach Kelly. I don't know. This is a toss-up to me. I don't feel strongly one way or the other. I'm still not buying Michigan State yet, but if they win this game, I'm more of a buyer. If Notre Dame wins, less heat on Kelly. I do like what I've seen from the young quarterback, kid out of New Jersey. So we'll see. I'll give Michigan State a slight edge, maybe roughly a field goal-ish. But I don't have a real strong feeling one way or the other than I like that they're playing each other. Okay, we're not playing Montana State here or directional school. Michigan State's playing the Fighting Irish, and no, this is not Notre Dame of X amount of years ago, but it's still Notre Dame. And with that, brings a certain aura to the stadium, and I don't think there's no negative there. So kudos to the AD at Michigan State and Coach D'Antonio for having Notre Dame on the schedule here in week number 4 for most teams.
Kenny, it's always good we catch up to you. Enjoy all the action this weekend, pal. Thank you.
Guys, you're going to thoroughly enjoy Iowa and Penn State. Hopefully it's a great game, because it should be. It should be a lot of fun.
Thanks, man. There you go. Ken Silverstein on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway, West Des Moines. Like I told you, Trent, I'm excited about this game. I really am. And I think it's horrible that ESPN decided to take their game day to New York City instead of going to Iowa City. I don't think anybody is really kind of figuring that one out. They easily could have gone to Oklahoma State and TCU as well. I mean, that's a great matchup. I have no idea why. Well, I know the Suits said, hey, we're going to go to New York City and nobody cares. And so they're doing it for advertising purposes, probably to just schmooze some more people that are on Wall Street and advertising street in New York City. That's all.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's dozens of places that would have been better. Nashville, Alabama comes to town against undefeated Vanderbilt. Boulder for Colorado, Washington.
Sure.
Cal Berkeley. They've never been to Berkeley before. USC comes to town and Cal's off to a surprising start. Put them in Lexington. You know, the Gators that have beat Kentucky a billion years in a row, go there. Kentucky's off to a 3-0. West Lafayette, anywhere. But stupid New York City, asinine.
I'm with you. I know. I'm with you. Are we done for the day?
That is it, Jimmy B. We are out of here. And tomorrow, it's a Football Friday. Went fast.
Wow. That's incredible. And don't forget, on Football Friday, we give you a couple of opportunities to win a $25 gift card from our great friends at Draft House 50. So make sure that you are dialed in, locked in tomorrow when Trent and I begin at 4 o'clock. I'm out of here, kid.
Be good, Jimmy B. That will do it for the program today. Back at it tomorrow, starting with the Ken Miller Show with Trent Cotton and myself and Ken Miller talking sports with you over lunch hour from noon until 2, and then Jimmy B and TC from 4 until 6 o'clock. High school football takes the airwaves as well tomorrow night. It'll be Des Moines Roosevelt against Waukee, that game from Drake Stadium, and I'll have the call for you tomorrow night. Tonight here on 1700 Westwood One coverage, it is NFL football. Another stinker. Apologies for that. 49ers and Rams from Westwood One every Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night football. Your home for real sports talk for real sports fans right here, 1700 KBGG.